quick announcement, you guys, before I get started. As you have seen, probably the gigantic moose that's on the back wall over there. It's peak time. And I'm just going to tell you, we've made it cheaper because of economic times. We know that your folks are like, listen, you guys, you know, I can't just give you $500 every 2 months to do a Velocity event. So it is cheaper. Second thing is that it is going to be, we'll have fundraisers, which will be great. But the other thing is that don't procrastinate. This, if you guys are interested, which you should be, it's a great couple of days. Come quick. We are taking less people, and that's how we're making it more profitable by just not getting as many people. So if that's something that interests you, get on it really quickly and just be on the gun with that. Open up your Bibles to Ecclesiastes, Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes is after Psalms and Proverbs. It's a great book. I encourage all of you to read on after we read today what we're going to. It really is a great book, much stuff that is needed for life, just great practical knowledge that we all need. But let's pray while you guys go to Ecclesiastes 4. Lord Jesus, you're beautiful, just like that song, God. And thank you for this day. Thank you for the hot chocolate. Thank you for the weather. Thank you for our friends. Thank you for everything. Every good thing comes from you, God. Everything was made for you, Lord. God, I pray that tonight we would glorify you, Lord, in paying attention to you. God, that we'd all learn tonight what it means to be a friend, a real friend, not a fake friend, God. Somebody who truly cares, somebody who really wants to travel this path with us through life, someone who picks us up when we fall. God, you did that to all of your friends. And we are all your friends, God. And you did the greatest thing you could ever do, which is die for us, Lord. You said there is nothing greater than to die for a friend. And God, you died for all of us, your friends. Lord, thank you for everything you've done this evening. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, it's November. Thanksgiving is just around the corner, as you guys probably know. But here's some things you might not know about Thanksgiving. Get this, the largest turkey on record, 86 pounds. Can you imagine the size of that bird? Get this, a what? There you go. He's 90 pounds, dude. That means that turkey's as big as Justin. Dude, you're going to get beat up by a turkey, dude. That's scary. A wild turkey can fly 55 miles an hour. Could you imagine an 86-pound turkey flying 55 miles an hour at you? That'd be super freaky. 45 million turkeys are eaten on Thanksgiving. And that's roughly 675 million pounds of turkey. Dude, we're like turkey murderers, right? That's crazy. The first Thanksgiving was in 1621, and it lasted 3 days. Although I wish it still lasted 3 days, I think my stomach wishes it didn't last 3 days, right? For after all the food we eat. I always have such great memories of Thanksgiving. At my house, it was always of my mom getting up super early to clean out all those, all those yummy things that come inside of a turkey. And if you don't know what those are, yes, most of the times the turkey comes with the innards and all that yummy stuff inside of it. I remember my mom used to get up super early and clean out the turkey so she could get it in early. Because it seemed like every year we wanted to eat sooner. Like, I remember when we were like seven, we ate lunch or we ate Thanksgiving dinner at like 7 o'clock. And then like the next year it was 6 o'clock and then we couldn't even make it till noon. So my mom had to get up at like the total crack of dawn just to get this thing going. But it was always our goal, me and my sisters, to beat a Super Mario Brothers before turkey time, right? It's like, all right, what are we going to do today? You know the deal. Mario Brothers 3, you know, little raccoon guy. You know, we got to totally beat Mario 3 today before it's time to eat turkey. That's our goal. But as much as I remember turkey and mashed potatoes and all the things that mean Thanksgiving, the most I remember about Thanksgiving is the family and the friends, right? Because that's what Thanksgiving is all about. Because who goes to such great lengths to prepare a meal for themselves, right? It's about sharing it with a family and sharing it with friends. I mean, could you imagine a guy who like literally gets up, makes himself an 86-pound turkey, stuffs that bad boy, makes potatoes, gets some corn on, gets some yams, whatever it is you like, you know, some pumpkin pie, and he sits down and he eats all by himself. It's like, dude, just go to McDonald's, dude, and get a Big Mac. What's the point of getting all that stuff? But an 86-pound turkey was meant to be shared, right? Obviously, it's that big. No one could eat that much turkey. And though I've at times felt that I've tried, Thanksgiving isn't about food. It's about friends and Thanksgiving. And life is about God. And then after God, it's about people. And someday, you guys, when you breathe your last breath and you're thinking about the things of your life, you won't be thinking about food or possessions. You'll be thinking about how you were with your friends, how you encouraged them, how you were with your family, and how you served God. We'll have many relationships in our lives. Many. You guys don't even know the amount of people that you'll meet and keep in touch with in your lives. And this week, we want to look at what it means to be a crew. Because just as a crew is to a ship, so are your friends are in life. The members of a crew of the ship, they're stuck with each other, right? We're on Treasure Church. We're on a voyage. We're on Velocity here going for a treasure hunt. And like it or not, we're stuck with each other. And that's how it is for a crew of people. They must interact with each other to get the boat to float in the right direction. It's just human nature. And the same is for us with relationships. We as Christians and humans in general were made to have relationships with people. Today as a crew, we want to see what the Bible says about friends, okay? About the crew, about the people that we hang out with, we roll with. And although we are 3 weeks into our voyage at Treasure Church, we want to look at what God says about relationships. And so our first point of the night is called good company. There's not many things in your life that you probably wouldn't want two of, right? There's probably a couple things, like you wouldn't want a double case of swine flu or something like that. But you might want like two iPods, right? Or two pairs of your favorite shoes, two of your favorite hats, two of your favorite dresses, whatever girls wear, you know what I mean? Having two is cool. The more the merrier, right? Think of how different your life would be right now if you only had one arm. It would be a lot harder, right? But think about now, what if you had four arms? That'd be sweet, right? Think of how much easier life would be if you had four arms. Think about it. You could like take a drink while you're typing out a term paper. You could brush your teeth and do your hair at the same time. You could tie your shoes while driving the car, right? Think about the amazing things you could do if you had four arms. You could get so much more done with double the amount of what you have. And guess what? That's a biblical principle. Not that you should have four arms, but that double what you have means double the fun, right? Remember the whole double the fun, you know, like the gum commercial or whatever it is? It's better with two. Let's look at our first verse, which is verse 9, chapter 4. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. I used to love in school when we got to do group projects. You guys ever get to do those still? When you're like, all right, partner up, and then you guys get to do this like paper together or this project together. I'm like, oh yeah, because it was so great. And what was great about it is because you got to share in all the work together, right? You get to split up the work. And in fact, you can almost do more work because there's two of you. If you guys don't know, we have momentum here every Thursday night. Good. Yeah, it's a great thing. And every Thursday night, so we're reading right now, and the chapter that we're in right now is about the power of collaboration. Sorry, I couldn't get that out. The power of collaboration. And the one thing that really stood out to me in this chapter, because it was about working with others, it was about having a friend, it was about talking about the people that you work with, that you travel this life with, right? And get what it said. It said this. It said that a horse, one horse by itself can pull 2,500 pounds. Okay? That's pretty notable. I don't think I could pull 2,500 pounds. But get this. Guess how much two horses can pull? You're probably thinking, oh, they can probably pull 5,000 pounds, right? Because each one can pull 2,500. Not true. In fact, two horses can pull 12,500 pounds. That's amazing, right? So two horses can pull five times what one horse can do because they're working together. And the Bible says the same thing very clearly here in verse 9, that whatever you're doing that's godly, when you do it with two people, it's even better. It's even easier and it's even more productive and even more fruitful in your life. Think about a boat. It would be impossible to sail a boat alone, right? And with two people, it would be easier. But even with 20 people, it'd be even better, right? The more, the merrier. I did a little bit of research and I found out that it actually took the Titanic a crew of 907 people just to sail that boat, right? You're like, out of 907 people, nobody saw the iceberg, right? You know, it's like, turn the wheel or something. But that's crazy. 907 people. That's a lot of people. And we see many times in the Bible this idea that more is better. If you guys can remember all the way back to Adam, God said, I think, seven times, this is good, this is good. I've made these things that are good. And then all of a sudden he makes Adam and he says, not good. Right? He says, this is not good that Adam is alone. I will make to him a person who is comparable, a woman, right? And so he's saying, hey, two is better than one. And I made this, I made Adam, and here he is by himself. But you know what? I'm going to give him someone to help him out because I know that two is better than one. And if you guys can remember, with Moses, Moses just murdered somebody, and Moses ran away, and Moses ends up meeting God. And God says, hey, you're going to be the person who's going to go get my people out of Egypt. It's your lucky day, right? And Moses says, hey, I'm not a good speaker. And so God says, okay, all right, fair enough. I will give you your brother. He will go with you and speak for you. Great. See, another thing, God gave somebody another person. And even Jesus went with friends. Yes, there's times that we see Jesus alone, but for the most part, Jesus was with the disciples. He was with people. He understood that having more people meant it was more productivity and that it was good for life in general. And in Luke 10, Jesus actually sends out 70 messengers. And it says that he sends them out, what do you think? Two by two. Jesus doesn't say, hey, of you 72, I want you one person in each place. He says, no, I want you guys to leave and go out two by two. In Acts 13, we see the Holy Spirit say, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, to the work that I have called them to do. Once again, he calls two people. And you see, that's why we are the body of Christ. Because the body, yes, has many parts, but it's unifying. All things are working together, right? I'm not sitting here punching myself in the face. That would be non-unifying, right? That wouldn't be good for the body. And some of us are different parts in the body of Christ. We're not just arms and we're not all just legs. We all work together. And when we do that, life is most productive and the gospel is spread much more efficiently. God made us and he made us so that we would have relationships. Think about this. You think if God never wanted you to have any friends, why would he make you with a mouth and vocal cords and the ability to explain yourself and talk about things? I mean, clearly God has designed us to have relationships in our lives. And right here at Calvary, we do the same thing, right? We want to partner with other people. It's not all about Calvary. We do a ton of stuff in other parts of the country, the world, and in Albuquerque because it's so important that we help out other people. We don't just focus on ourselves. We care about others. We're making friends out there, right? I mean, it wouldn't do anybody good to do right arm curls their whole life, right? Imagine if you're like, that's all you did all day. You're like, you're going to run or anything? Nope. I'm just going to lift this 10-pound weight for the rest of my life. And you got like one bulging arm, and then this one's like, just like a little bone, you know what I mean? And like, you know, you're all got a big beer gut, but you got like a huge, gigantic, you know, muscle. It doesn't make very much sense to work on one part of the body. And the same is for us. Why use one arm when we can use two, right? Why go into this life working for God, serving God by yourself when you can take people with you? It's so much better. It's more productive. It's easier, and we can get more done. It's a blessing from God. A friend is very valuable. The right kind of friend is valuable, right? Because the Bible says, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. Meaning that you guys need to pick your friends wisely. Yes, two is better than one, unless that one is not a Christian and he's trying to get you to do other things that he shouldn't be doing. So in that case, two isn't better. But you guys all know what maybe it's like to have a friend who brings you down, right? And we don't need those people in our lives. So yes, two is better than one if it's the right kind of friend. You want good company. And what is good company? Well, it's somebody who supports you in your walk with God, who picks you up, and who has your back. And that brings us to our next point, which is called good support. I was playing hockey one day back in Colorado, you know, that's what we do, you know, it's like mountainous, play hockey. And I was younger, probably your guys' age, and I was playing hockey. And I was just like, oh yeah, you know, thinking I was all whatever. And I was skating really hard and I ended up falling really hard and my whole arm right here split. And I was just like, it was like that, but right here, like made a 90 degree angle. It felt like it was really bad. And here's the deal. I had a friend who was there with me playing, thank God. And he was like, man, first off, your arm's really messed up. And second of all, he went and got his mom, who called my sister, who went and took me to the hospital. And so it's really good to have friends. It's nice to have somebody around in a tough situation, right? Just like that tough situation that I was in. Could you imagine if I was all by myself in the middle of a field playing hockey? I guess you could do that in a field. And I fell and broke my arm. And now I'm like, How am I supposed to get up? I can't get up. What if I broke both arms? What if I broke a leg? How am I supposed to get up? I'd literally be at the mercy of, you know, screaming out there, wondering if somebody is going to come find me. It's good to have somebody in a tough situation. Let's look at verse 10 through 12 and we'll figure this out. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord, is not easily broken. Let's start off with verse 10 first, okay? This is what, let me reread 10 just so it's fresh in your mind. If they fall, one will lift the companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls. This would have been an example that many people would have known, okay? Because back in the day, like right when this is written, in Palestine, the roads are very uneven. They're not paved, right? It's not like today where we have nice little sidewalks, you know, crosswalk, press the button. It doesn't work like that. Things were very rocky, and actually I have a picture of it I'm going to show you. Andrew, can I get that picture? So you can see, this is today. I mean, look at all that, the rock and everything that's in the way right now. So imagine what it was like a long time ago before they have obviously gotten the joy of pavement and concrete and things like that. Imagine somebody walking through that in the middle of the night, or somebody walking through that. There's stuff all over the place. So you can see how easy it would be for someone to fall. And you can see easily why the Bible says two are better than one. Because imagine if a man who people were doing, this was speaking of travelers, imagine if somebody was going from point A to point B and they had to go through this field. We're just normal people, dude. I see people fall down like on normal concrete, like not necessarily on rocks and things like that. So imagine if somebody fell and they were out there all by themselves. They could be out there for days. They could even die out there, right? Because there's no necessarily traveled roads that they have to take, right? So somebody goes out there, they trip, they fall, they break their leg, and he's out there, you know, hoping that somebody's going to come back down. So that's why it's better to have two, because somebody could have picked that person up and said, man, we got to get you to the doctor. We got to get you healed. You know what I mean? And so that's why two is better than one. But when it comes to spiritual things, it's also good to have a friend in the faith. Because when you guys fall spiritually, okay, not falling physically, but when you guys fall spiritually, you'll have somebody there, a friend in the faith, to pick you up. That is what this means. You see, much like the roads of Palestine, life can be a very bumpy road, right? We know that. We see things all the time, man. It's like, why is this so hard? Man, I'm struggling here. These things. And you can sometimes fall down spiritually. And we can often sometimes even fall into a spiritual pit. You know, I read one thing that said there was actually just like holes in the ground so big that a guy would just be walking like point A to point B, whoosh, fall right into a pit. And it's like, dude, I hope somebody walks by. But that's how it is for us, you guys. Sometimes we're just, we all know what it feels like to just feel like everything is going so great and it's all awesome. And here we are traveling from point A to point B in our lives. And then all of a sudden it feels like Satan's driving a semi-truck right over us, right? Like he's just, you know, gunning us down or something like that, right? That's a spiritual pit. And trust me, if you don't know what that feels like, you will someday. Because you see, the devil loves to get us alone. And that's a great reason why we should travel this world, sail these seas, whatever you want to call it, with friends. All right? It's good to have more than one person. We need to be weary when we're alone because the devil, guess what? We talked about this a little while ago in Matthew. You know what the devil did? He recited scripture. The devil knows scripture. The devil knows scripture better than we do right now. And so the devil knows clearly what it says in Ecclesiastes 4:9, that two are better than one. So clearly the devil's going to be looking for the person who is isolated, the person who doesn't want to hang out with anybody, the person who likes to be alone, and he's going to go after that person even more. And it's hard to get yourself back up when Satan has run you over, right? Because just like that person who breaks his leg, he's just waiting for someone to call or someone to come find him. And this is why it's important for you guys to have a friend that you can confide in. So when you fall in a spiritual pit, you can say, hey, dude, I'm falling down, I'm hurt, I'm struggling in this area in my life, and I need you to come pick me up, please. Or if we're the friend who's somebody has fallen, we need to be the person to say, hey man, how's it going? And we need to be real with that person. You're going to avoid many spiritual pitfalls as a Christian with your friends, friends that you can be real with. You need to be real with your friends. You know what I absolutely just can't stand is when somebody says, hey, how are you? And somebody says, I'm okay. And they're like, okay, that's it. Like, if somebody says, I'm okay, they're not okay. People don't just say, I'm okay. You either say, oh, I'm really good, or I'm crappy. You know, whatever it is. But you know, that's fake. When somebody says, hey, how are you? I'm okay. Right on. Have a good day. It's like, well, you didn't even ask that person what it's all about. You guys, picking each other up and encouraging is what we need to do. And if you're not picking people, your friends up, out of spiritual pits, and when the devil runs them over, then you're not being a very great friend, because that's what we've been called to do, and we need to start today. The Bible is telling us right here that you don't want to travel this life alone, right? God's given us people to share the burden with, to say, man, do you ever feel like that? Yeah, me too. Let's pray about it. Great. The Christian life isn't about putting on a fake smile, okay? I don't want you guys to think because I'm a Christian that I have to always go around telling everybody that I'm super happy and in a great mood. Oh, I'm a Christian. We never get sad or mad. No, we do, but we know what to do with that. We bring it to God. It doesn't mean that we don't have struggles. It means that we know that God is in full control of our lives and that he can change it. And as the person who struggles, we look to God and we look to our friends to pick us up. And as the friends, if we're the friend, that we're asking that person how they're doing. We need to pick up other people, because just what it says right here in verse 10, woe to him who is alone when he falls. Right? Basically saying, yikes. The guy who falls when he's alone, the guy who chooses to go at it alone, woe to you. Because it does you no good to hold in your struggles, okay? It just builds up and goes nowhere. And this is why, as friends, we need to encourage, pick each other up, and pray for our friends. So when we fall into a pit of sin, we're not left to die there, right? So we don't spiritually die in there and just say, the relief's never coming. You know, I'm just stuck in this pit forever. We need to get bandaged up and bandage up in prayer. That's how we bandage each other up, okay? When you fall down and break your leg, they give you a bandage. When we fall down in a spiritual pit, we bandage each other in prayer. That's how that works. Let's look at verse 11. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Once again, this is obviously speaking of a traveler. I love this picture that he paints, because he's talking about a guy traveling, guy going from one point to another. And that's exactly what we're doing, right? Here at Treasure Church, we're on a voyage. And here in life in general, we're on a voyage. This isn't our home. Right? This isn't where we were meant to live. That's why sometimes as Christians, it feels like, where are we? What is this place we live in? It's because we're made new. And he says, this isn't your home anymore. You will be going to your home soon. And that's where you're going to feel comfortable. You guys probably feel pretty comfortable at your own house. Kick your shoes off. It feels good, right? You're going to feel, when you guys die and go to heaven, it's going to feel like you've been there forever. Because it's going to be like, oh man, it's going to be going over like grandma's house. It's going to be like God's house, man. It feels good in here. I feel comfortable here. I feel like this is where I always should have been. And that's what God always wanted of us. But thus, just like this passage is speaking of a travel. And this is what we're doing. We're traveling to heaven, right? This is just a little minor setback, a couple years that we're going to spend here, and then we'll get back to eternity in heaven. So after they avoided those pits, like we just talked about, a guy in Palestine is likely to fall into a pit, right? Likely to break himself. After he got back up, now it says he would have to avoid the coldness of the night, right? He says it's good to have two people because they can lie down together and keep warm. But how can one person stay warm? And get this. I mean, think about this. If you had one person traveling and it was really cold at night, here's what they would have to do. Either they would go cold and freeze, maybe, because they didn't want to carry any extra load on their back. Or they would have to pack a bunch of extra blankets and things. And then now they'd have to carry all that weight, all the places they were going. And that's a lot. And just like the horses we talked about, if there was two of those people traveling, they could separate the blankets, right? It wouldn't be that hard for them to take a bunch of extra blankets because they could share the load. And even if they couldn't bear that burden, then even at night they could lay down close together and get warm. I got a picture of a couple of polar bears staying warm. Right? That's a perfect picture of what this is talking about. Right? Look at these polar bears. They're not stupid. They're like, I could go lay down in the ice and the snow by myself, or I could lay down with a friend and let this friend get me, help me keep warm. All right? So, this is a smart thing to do. I remember, this is like one of the funniest, this is like, I don't know why, this is funny to me. I remember one of the first times me and Lisa went back to Colorado after we were living here for a little bit. And I don't know how you guys grew up, but at my house where we grew up, my mom was like, when you're cold, you put on more clothes. Like, we were the family that went to bed with like two pairs of sweatpants on, two pairs of sweaters. And we still put the heat on. It's not like we didn't put the heat on, but it's just the way we are. But Lisa's family, you know what they did? They were like the type who like hung out in like shirts, t-shirts and shorts all year round, but then they just cranked up the furnace. And I was always, so like, she's like, okay, so she stayed at my mom's house when we were back for Christmas one time. And she's like didn't bring any like sweats, warm stuff. And so she's like, literally, like, I remember, like, I saw her the next morning and she's like, were you freezing last night? Like, I couldn't even go to bed. My teeth were chattering. I was like, oh no, I was cool. I had like four sweatshirts on. She's like, what? Why didn't you tell me that I'm supposed to wear? I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought like everybody like wore a ton of stuff to bed. That's just how we grew up. But Lisa didn't do that. And so she was freezing cold the whole night, miserable, didn't sleep a wink because at their house, they're like, you know, sleeping with sheets still and just cranking up the heat to like 95 degrees. And I'm like, that's insane. But that's not the coldest record temperature, even though that was cold. Get this, I actually found that the coldest record temperature was recorded by a scientist in Russia, but the temperature was taken in Antarctica. Get this, negative 136 degrees. Oh my gosh, it's actually colder than dry ice. That's insane. And so you could see why two is better than one, right? Two people are traveling, they can huddle up real close and stay warm and avoid the coldness of the night. But you know what else is cold? Loneliness. I think that's what this is speaking about sometimes. You guys all know what it's like probably to feel lonely, maybe feel like you're alone. It's a cold feeling. It's not very warming. It can lead to a lot of bad things. Loneliness can lead to worst feelings and it actually can lead to depression. And this is a kind of off the subject, but this is really crazy. I learned this and I wanted to share it with you guys. Do you know that sin can actually lead to depression? Think about this. A study on USA Today said that 25% of teens who are sexually active are depressed all of the time or most of the time. Okay, these aren't even Christians, okay? And then opposed to 8% of teens who are not sexually active and not depressed, okay? So you're four times more likely to become depressed and lonely just by breaking God's law and having premarital sex. Isn't that crazy? That's a secular study. That's USA Today. And that's why friends are so important, you guys. To give us the word of God in those cold moments of life when we're feeling so lonely, right? When somebody says, hey, I'm contemplating like suicide, you need to say, listen, Jeremiah says in the Bible that God has a hope and a future for you. But there's no reason that you need to do that. God has a plan for you. And you have a friend who's contemplating having premarital sex, you say, listen, here's the study. Hey, you know what the Bible says? Jesus says that he loves you and that you don't need to do those things, right? It says that we don't need to be, the sexually immoral won't inherit the kingdom of God, right? We need to be those people as friends who lift each other up. And yes, the story that we're reading in Ecclesiastes is about physically staying warm, but guess what? Your friends can keep you spiritually warm, I think, right? Because when you decide to sin and to live apart from God, it's as if your spirit has gone cold and numb. And it's great because friends can help warm you up. And a friend that's nearby can help you warm you up with the Spirit by saying, hey, this is what the Bible says in this instance. And this is what the Lord said about this. And can reconnect you to God so that you don't have that cold and lonely, numb feeling anymore. And that you can begin to feel your spirit again. Because the darkness and the coldness of Satan is hard. And we need to warm people up as God prompts us, okay? There's a lot of people who are cold and numb to the world because of what Satan has done with this place. And we, as those who are warmed by God's Spirit, need to go out there and tell everybody the warmth they can have. It's such a blessing to have friends, you guys. We should make friends. And it's obvious in the Bible here that that being a Christian and having friends is a great thing. Get this, I came across one news article that said that people who have no friends or no close friends actually have shown an increase in sleep disturbances. That's crazy. That means people who don't have a lot of friends or don't want friends, they isolate themselves, they have sleep disturbances, meaning they can't sleep well at night. And actually, sleep disturbances can lead to things like depression, like we talked about, anxiety, chronic fatigue, and cardiovascular disease. So making good Christian friends is very important. Here's what that doesn't mean, that you're supposed to be very popular. It doesn't mean that, oh, I have 100 friends, so I sleep great at night. It doesn't mean that. It means that I make friends with other Christians, we lift each other up, we encourage people, that we have people to travel this life with, to sail these seas with, who lift us up, and who pick us up in the faith. And as Christians, we should be making friends with more people. I bet there's a lot of you guys here tonight who've been coming to Velocity for like maybe years. And you've been seeing the same people for years, but you have yet to make friends with those people. And I'm not just talking about the friends that are like we said, hey, how are you? I'm okay. Cool, see you later. No, I mean like friends who are real and say, I'm not okay. Or, can you pray for me? Hey, let's go talk to this person about Jesus. Hey, let's pray for this person. Okay? I bet there's a lot of people in here tonight who still don't do that, who still have yet to make friends with people in here who share the same faith as you. It should be so easy for us. Because maybe you think, oh, that person's not cool enough, or that person's different. Guess what? Dude, that stuff's for the world, you guys. Right? It's the world that says, oh, you're not cool enough. You can't be friends with me. And it's the world that says, oh, you don't have enough stuff. You can't be friends with me. All right? That is among the world, but that shouldn't be among us. We should be the one who's like, I don't care what you look like, man, because you love Jesus and I love Jesus. Let's go have, let's go have some Bible study time. Let's go have fun. Let's go do something awesome together. We don't judge people by their clothes like the world does. Let's look at verse 12, the last verse. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Just like back then in Palestine, like I told you guys, you don't want to travel at night. Get this. I found out that 70% of all crime happens at nighttime. All right? And actually 40% of that 70% is violent crime. It's not just like shoplifting. This is like violent crime. So in Palestine, you are more likely to be under attack as a traveler, right? The person could almost fall in a pit during the day, trip over rocks, and then it said they had to avoid the coldness and the numbness of the night, and now it's saying, hey, two is better, because if somebody tries to mug you in the middle of the night, if it's just one person, you two can take that person on. And so, clearly a robber would attack one person quicker than he would attack two people. So having a friend can help you guys fend off an attack. And as a Christian, you guys, we are constantly under attack at all times, not just nighttime, if you guys didn't know that. Maybe some of you guys have felt this persecution because of your faith. Maybe you've been at school and somebody has said these things. Well, that's why it's good to have a friend, so you're not alone in the fight. That's why the text says two are better than one. So if somebody's at school saying something against you, you have somebody there to back you up. Satan is just like a criminal at nighttime. The Bible says Satan seeks to devour people. And you know who he seeks to devour first? Those who are alone and those who are isolating themselves. Because Satan doesn't play fair and he doesn't care. He's looking for that one person who's like, I don't need friends. I'm strong enough Christian. Or that person who's like, I'm too scared to make friends. Or that person who's like, I don't want to make friends with that person because they're not cool enough. All right? He's going to attack that person because he doesn't play fair. And that's just how he is. But when Satan attacks, it's good to have company. It's better to have two. If you're at school and you're in science class and they're preaching evolution, and somebody stands up and says, hey, dude, that's not all it's cracked up to be. Hey, did you know that Darwin said that if the fossil records didn't back up his statements, that his theory was not true anymore? Hey, when somebody says, hey, dude, look at those losers over there praying. You're there saying, hey, dude, you don't need to talk to them like that. You know what, dude, I'm going to go pray with them too. Or when that person stands up in class, that you don't have to be afraid that you're going to be the only one. Someone's there to say, hey, yeah, I heard that too. Yeah, and you guys back each other up, right? That's what it means. You guys have each other's spiritual backs. That's a great thing to think about, right? You got my spiritual back, right? If I go in there and start telling somebody about Jesus, you got my back, dude? Are you going to leave me out here alone? Or are you going to back me up and say, hey, I got your back and we can defend off this attack? If someone is making fun of you or a brother and sister of Christ at school, we need to be those ones who stick up for that person, all right? And I don't mean throwing punches, all right? I don't mean like, hey, fool, and you knock them out. I mean saying, hey, I want to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you right now, man. Hey, I know that you don't like me, man, and I know you're saying all this stuff about me and my God. I'm going to pray for you right now, man. Hey, man, if you ever ask any questions, I'm here for you. That's what we need to do. We need to start throwing scripture and throwing prayer, not throwing punches. We need to comfort one another with the words of Jesus in John 16 when Jesus said, hey, in this world, you're going to have plenty of tribulation, but be of good cheer because I overcame the world. Right? Jesus is saying, hey, you're going to get persecuted, but don't worry. It's only for a limited time. I already died, rose from the dead, beat evil so you can come to heaven and you don't have to deal with this for the rest of your life. Those are the things we need to be doing. And to end it all, it says that a three-strung cord is not easily broken. Meaning, hey, look at how much better two is than one. Think of how much better three is than two. Saying, man, you guys should really be cooperating as Christians together because you can have each other's backs. And you guys can do so much more for Jesus and more in your faith. Check this out. Look at this little tiny thing. This thing is, right? This is like a little tiny rope. This thing is a three-strung cord right here. This is three pieces of single strand woven in to make this one thing. Look at, okay, I'm pulling with all of my might. All right? You see that? Like, okay, this is what this means, okay? If this is one of these, just one of these little strands, I could probably break it. But working together, me, 175-pound grown man, can't even do anything to this little thing. And I bet maybe all of us together couldn't even break this thing apart. And that's why two is better than one. And that's why friends are better than none. Because we have somebody to travel this world with, someone to share our burdens with, okay? Someone to strengthen us, to pick us up when we're in the spiritual pit, when we're not feeling good. So friends matter. And maybe you're thinking this, I already have a ton of friends, so I'm like totally good in this area. Well, then I would ask you to evaluate your friends. Not in a superficial way, like, oh, I don't really like, I don't want any more blonde-haired friends. Like, not in a superficial way. I mean, evaluate them next to God's standards. Right? Is this person picking you up when you fall down? Is this person praying for you daily? Is this person not afraid to say, hey, can I do something for you? Can I help you out? Not just the superficial, oh, I'm okay thing. All right? Evaluate your friends. Do they stick up for God? Do they stick up for Jesus? Do they stick up for you? That's a good friend. Or maybe you should evaluate yourself as well. Okay? Do you do the things that a true friend does? Do you ask your friends what their spiritual life is like? When you guys get together, do you ever say, hey, man, how's your walk going with God? And not just, oh, it's okay. Actually, it's going good. Here's the areas where I'm doing well. Here's the areas I need help in. Hey, we should pray about this. Not just this I'm okay, you're okay thing. Can we all make a pact tonight, you guys, to not be friends that are like that? Let's make a pact tonight to be friends who don't just say, oh, I'm okay. Oh, it's okay. Oh, I'm doing all right. Let's be people who are free to express ourselves to our friends and say, hey, listen, man, I'm getting run over by the devil. Hey, man, I'm getting tempted in a lot of ways. I'm getting caught up in this sin. Let's be the people who are free to say that to each other. And then on the other hand of that, let's be the people who aren't like, oh, really? Let's be the people who are like, well, let me pray for you, man. Let me help you with those things. Because if you can't be real with a friend and tell them that you're battling these things and that you're in the pit and that you're having all these things happen to you, then guess what? Those people aren't really your friends anyways. Okay? If you can't be real with your friends, they're not your friends. They're just acquaintances. They're just people that you see. And maybe tonight you're thinking, hey, I don't have a lot of friends. Well, then I would say this. Two is better than one, but you know what's better than a million? Jesus is better than a million. Having Jesus is better than having a million close friends. So if you have Jesus, then you are two. Two is better than one. You do have him, right? You are in Jesus, and Jesus is in you. So you do have that. But I have no doubt that God wants us to make friends, to have more Christian friends to live our life with, to help each other out with, you guys. A crew who sails in the right direction, the direction of God, and who helps each other out with these things. I pray that you guys would all become friends like Jesus is to us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. God, you are the best friend we could ever have, Lord. God, I'm reminded how you said you no longer call us servants, but you call us friends. That's crazy to think of the God of the universe making friends with us, sinful us. God, I pray that we'd start being real with our friends, asking them how their spirituality is. And God, we'd start telling people how our spirituality is. And God, that we would be people who lift each other up and encourage each other in the faith. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll be up here if you guys need any questions, or else God bless you guys. I'll see you on Saturday.